Williams United Methodist Church. Sorry for the noise, but we are chilling in a hallway here. And we just wanted to come to you and say hello. Brad, how was your day?
So I prayed all day. And by all day, I meant we spent 6 hours in prayer, plus a prayer lunch.
You had a prayer lunch?
I had a prayer lunch. So 7 hours of active prayer today. It was actually incredible. It was wonderful. They used different forms of prayer, styles of prayer,
languages.
Conversation, languages, activities, 10 minutes of silence. You all know how well I do with that.
You think a minute is rough, Highlands. Try 10.
It was fantastic to watch everybody spend some time centering. The idea was there are things that tie us together and we are going to reflect on them. The bishops are doing everything they can to prepare us to let God work. The focus was on let God's will be done. And I believe God's will is love for all people.
Absolutely.
Ashley, where did you experience that love today?
I experienced that love after the lunch break, and there was an intentional time of prayer for and with LGBTQ people that were on the delegate floor, as well as in the convention center and around the world. I was able to be with queer brothers and sisters as we sang together and prayed together. In the midst of rainbow flags and having delegates from the floor actually come and lift their hands up to show that we are loved and we are made in the image of God. That was a super powerful moment for me, and I know for many others.
It was a very special part of the day to have people not talked about but be prayed with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So here's the thing. When it comes to the work of General Conference, officially it doesn't even start till tomorrow. Well, today, because we're filming this Saturday and it'll start on Sunday. But what I can tell you is, though we do not know anything yet as far as results, what I can tell you is there has never been as big a coalition, as broad a coalition, as diverse a coalition of people from all over the world, of varying viewpoints and ideologies, all working together to make the United Methodist Church look more like Highlands, a place that loves, accepts, and allows people to be who they are in every way and ideology. And if there ever has been a moment that the United Methodist Church can make this change, it's this moment. And I ask that you pray for it. Whether you take 7 hours or even 7 seconds to send your love and your light and your focus this way, not only do we need it, but this convention center filled with people needs your thoughts and prayers. We do have a special guest that will be joining us for just a moment. Here's Bishop Karen. Amidst all the busyness of the day, I was able to grab a moment with Bishop
Karen.
I said,
Karen. Do it.
I know.
Do it.
I said, do you have a second? And she's
said,
like, of course she wants to do it. She wants to say hi to Highlands UMC. So, Bishop, would you offer a word of greeting to the church?
I would love to. Highlands UMC, I so appreciate you. You are doing things. You are extending Christ's love in tangible ways in your neighborhood. It's making a difference. It's saving lives. You are modeling to so many of us the vitality, the vibrancy that happens when a community really understands that its whole purpose is to keep widening the circle so that more and more see that they are a part of the body of Christ. When that happens, there's joy, there's wholeness, and there is so much peace. So thank you, friends. Thank you for allowing your pastor to do all the hard work. He's doing such heavy lifting with the other Mountain Sky Conference delegates. And I'm grateful for you and look forward to coming home and just being the church together, Christ's beloved community.
I'd echo that sentiment. Love you, miss you, and we'll see you soon.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is always a joy to be in worship with you all. I live just down the street on Perry, and I'm an ordained United Church of Christ minister, and that's the reason that I get to be here today, because all of the Methodist ministers are somewhere else. Brad was like, I can't call any Methodists for today. I'm a good friend and colleague of Brad's, and just want to tell you all that I'm a staunch supporter of your good ministry in the neighborhood and really appreciate all that you do for us in this neighborhood, and just want to thank you for your good work among us. I would like to open our time together here with a reading from Psalm 37. So if you all will just join with me while I share with you this psalm, and then we'll spend a little time with it as I reflect on it. This is Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to God, trust in God, and God will act. God will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. May God bless our understanding of those holy words that have come to us through the ages. So it was really nice of you all to give Brad and Ashley a weekend off. This is loud. I should be careful. I'll move it down a little. As you all know, it is far from a weekend off for them. They are working very, very hard at General Conference, listening, praying, and speaking, and calling forth the Holy Spirit in the company of almost 1,000 delegates and clergy, other UMC clergy from around the world, to address the very heart of the church. And the vote, as you all know, at the center of the General Conference is a vote for how the wider UMC will move forward, given the troubling references throughout the Book of Discipline to LGBTQIA persons and their ministerial callings and intimate relationships and practices and their ability to live fully as members of UMC churches. A commission, do you all know about the commission? I know we had a reference here from it. Thank you for that. And thank you also for your prophetic voice into the space that the commission is doing good work. And there are some options on the table, and yet there's a future that looks different even from the best options that are on the table. So the options that are currently on the table from this commission on the way forward are three. One is the traditional model, which means that at this they'll vote to change nothing. The second one is the One Church plan, which means that that the system will allow churches and clergy and conferences more flexibility in their own ability to define unity and to define their own context and be able to be abide by their own consciences and do their own ministry in their context with the clergy and the people in their communities as they are called by God. And the third option is this connectional conference option, in which the church is going to create those sort of values-based conferences, is how I understand it. And again, this is kind of from a UCC person kind of looking in from the outside, but this is how I understand it. Seems to me that each option has costs and each option has complications. At least two of the three represent significant changes to polity and organization and finances and a fair amount of challenge, and good, because it matters and it's important that those challenges are addressed. So here's the bad news. The bad news is that it's a really big deal, right? And that that it's a big deal to those who are offended and hurt by the language that's in the Book of Discipline. And it's a big deal to those who are offended by the option of changing the language in the Book of Discipline, right? It's a big deal to everyone. And here's the good news. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to those who desperately love the church and want to bring their whole beautiful God-beloved selves into the life and ministry, full life and ministry of the local church. And it's a big deal to those who deeply and faithfully hold to intractable positions. So it's big. Just want to name, it's big. This is a big conversation that's happening right now. But lucky for us, God is bigger. So let me tell you a little story. In 1972, this present language in the Book of Discipline, that what they're calling the incompatibility clause, was added. But that same year, in 1972, on the other side of the country, a church in the United Church of Christ Golden Gate Association ordained the first openly gay man to be a minister of a church called St. Carlos, or San Carlos UCC. So in that same exact year that those two conflicting things were happening, and I tell you that because I want you to think about the fact that 40 years ago, when LGBTQ people's hearts were breaking at the UMC General Conference in Atlanta, on the other side of the country, LGBTQ people's hearts were rejoicing in this notion that, like, holy moly, that's an out gay person who just got called to lead a church. Like, that's really, really exciting and powerful. So it proves that God is big. I was in seminary at ILIF in 2000, which is a time when the United Methodist General Conference put forward another vote, not like this one, but in some ways about some of these topics and some of this conversation. And I remember clearly how painful and difficult it was for people to wrestle with whether to remain in the church, to move the church, or whether to step out of the church in order to protest the decisions and the conversations. And I know that there were professors and students and people praying all over the place to pray that there would be a more inclusive church out of that vote. And that year, the body held on to that previous stance, that incompatibility clause, but at that same time, that same year, there was a vote in the Episcopal Church, in the Episcopal General Convention, that changed church teaching from a focus on practices to a focus on relationships for all people, LGBTQ people included and especially. And so it just shows you that there's like these things are complicated and God is moving and acting in every single one of them and weaving between them and moving giant behemoths of organizations in small ways and large ways into a vision for a beloved community. So God is big. Just want to remind you, God is big. The UMC this weekend, of course, is praying and meeting together about looking for a way forward, using a document that that from my perspective, again, from the outside, appears to be one that has been prepared with a fair amount of grace and sensitivity and a fair amount of open hearts. And it seems to affirm the cultural realities and the fact that there are contexts all over the world. And it offers an option for how the church might stay connected even if everybody doesn't agree on everything. And that's an important part of what it means to be church, right? Is to stay connected and to be people of faith together. So thank God. God is big and God is there. You could hear it in Brad and Ashley's message. And I just want to say that having sort of tracked this from the distance for the last couple of decades here, I really admire the work of the commission. And I admire the fact that this conversation feels different than other ones have in the past, insofar as it seems to be about engaging the whole church in acknowledging that there are costs to exclusion and that exclusion is not the message that Jesus preaches. And I admire that the commission seems to honor all voices, even though I know it hurts. It pains me to know how much it hurts people in the process. But from my vantage point, it looks like holy work. You all are part of some pretty holy work that's going on right now in the world and in the church, the sort of little C and big C. And so it reminds me that God is big. So sometimes what we have to do when we're in these moments of kind of unknown, these moments of prayer and question, is to lift up into God's great presence and trust that God is moving. That God is moving in this, God has been moving in this over the decades and still is and is actively in in the midst of the folks in St. Louis right now and for all of us. So that psalm that I read, that reminds us of that message, because the psalmists have experienced what we've experienced, and that's why their words are still powerful to us today. So just a couple of lines I want to remind you of from that psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, and God will act. God will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So the psalmist reminds us to trust God, that God's doing something powerful and exciting right now, that God has been doing this work in pockets all over the world since the beginning of time, and that your call, our call, is to keep doing the good work that we're already doing. So, on this block, in this neighborhood, in this city, Highlands United Methodist Church is doing incredible ministry, and no vote in St. Louis will change that. Am I right? Say yes and put your hand up. Yes! On this block, in this neighborhood, in this city, Highlands United Methodist Church has already created a congregation in which LGBTQIA persons, couples, and families feel safe to enter, to participate, to join, to be whole, to be committed and connected to the mission and ministry of the church. And no vote in St. Louis will change that. Am I right? On this block, in this neighborhood, in this city, Highlands United Methodist Church is a church that, like many around the country in the United Methodist system, shines like the light, like the psalmist says, and shows forth the justice of the cause and models how to do affirming and welcoming and reconciling and full inclusion ministry. And no vote in St. Louis will change that. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
So we listen to the advice of the psalmist. It's easy in these moments to fret or to kind of have anxiety over who's going to prosper and what's going to come from this and what that means for us. And it's easy to be angry, and that's perfectly normal, particularly if you are someone who has had to carry the weight of this oppression and pain of the biblical record in the church for so long, for decades. But we have to remember that God is big. God is bigger than all of this. God is bigger than the little boxes that we put ourselves and our faith in. God is bigger than our books of discipline and our interpretations of the Bible. God is bigger than the systems we've used to gather and organize and codify our faith throughout the centuries. Is God bigger? Yes! Well, thank God for that, right? Because if God were small, then there wouldn't be that story of hope from 1972 of an out gay man getting called and ordained in a public way to a congregation. There wouldn't be a story about an openly gay Episcopal bishop who was elected in 2003 in New Hampshire. There wouldn't be a story or in a person on the screen who is an out lesbian minister elected to be bishop of this very, very cool United Methodist Mountain Sky Conference, right? And there wouldn't be a commission presenting some theological and thoughtful and faithful ways forward this weekend in order to kind of coalesce a gathered people around something new. And there wouldn't be this incredible community of faith in Northwest Denver. If God were small, you all wouldn't be here, right? Listening to God's call, trusting in God, committing your ways to God, doing good, like the psalmist said, cultivating welcoming space, and being still in your faith. So no matter what happens in St. Louis this weekend, your work hasn't changed. Your relationship with God is no different. Your calling in this neighborhood remains as strong and as important and as faithful as it ever has been. In fact, probably more so. So I want to share with you Just briefly, some words from a United Methodist friend of mine who wrote this in anticipation of the weekend. She attends a church called Dumbarton UMC, and here are her words. I don't know what will happen in St. Louis, but I do know that on March 3rd, I'm going to walk into Dumbarton UMC, and I will be surrounded by friends and family, and we will celebrate being a reconciling congregation for over 30 years. On that Sunday, my wife and I will celebrate 15 years of marriage and 20 years together with our two beautiful children. This year is also the 20th anniversary of my being ordained in the UMC. The uncertainty I felt at 24 isn't that different at 44 when it comes to living with the possibility that my ordination in the UMC can be gone, undone by a vote or a threat or a trial at any moment. Yet that fear has never defined my call. So I will keep living and loving and learning. If you need a place to be reminded of the goodness of God and what church can feel like, you are welcome on March 3rd. Sweet tea, grace, unconditional love, and Jesus will be waiting there for you. I'm sure you have a line of four of those that you would say as well. I wish I could say that you could find that welcome in any UMC church that day, but I can't, not yet. In the meantime, we will keep working and we will keep loving until church can be church for all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.